Barbarigo School on the top.com. Allie?
Hey, Dwayne, how's it going?
Wonderful, wonderful. Got a little snow, that's about it.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, let's just tell people how dedicated you are. I mean, you came down to visit me. You went to the New Jersey Action Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and we hung out for the weekend with people like Michael Jai White and Philip Morris and Chuck Zito and, so many famous, incredible martial art action stars and martial art masters, and we just had a blast. And then you came all the way back from New Jersey, drove to my house 3.5 hours in Long Island. We shot a video for an upcoming project that we're going to be showing everybody soon, so look out for that. I won't tell you what it is, but it's pretty awesome. And then you drove all the way home to avoid a snowstorm and got caught in the snowstorm, and it took you almost 24 hours of driving to get all the way back to your house. So, I mean, I have to applaud you and your dedication. And that just goes to show martial artists out there that, you know, when you really want to do something, you could do it, right?
You make it happen one way or another. And by the way, I have a Toyota Prius, so it's not like I got a four-wheeler. Yeah, I was driving like 40, 45 miles an hour and all that. So,
man, it was crazy. I was worried about you the whole time, and I'm like, hours were going by, and I didn't hear from you, and then you'd text me and update me. So I'm glad you made it home safe, and man, what a trek. So good for you, and I appreciate you coming out and hanging with me. We had another one of our good buddies, Kenny Bigby, flew out from Indiana to hang with us, and yeah, we just had a good old time, so it was great. But I'm excited. You know, today I woke up, and yesterday was my birthday, and I'm 50 years old now, you know, and I was really overwhelmed with all the unbelievably cool happy birthday videos and messages and people personally texting me. I had over 500 people reach out to me. Some people I don't even know that said to some extent that they listened to material that I put out, or, you know, really a lot of nice sentiment about, you know, hey, you don't even realize, but you've changed my life, or you changed my studio. And anyway, I was really honored. But anyway, I woke up today and I feel kind of like overwhelmed. One, we have had an ice storm, so we had school delays. But, you know, I just want people to know, like, you know, just because I have a certain success level and you do, Dwayne, we all feel the same thing all the time, you know, and feel that way. How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, we all do. It just, I guess it depends on how you process it and how long you're going to sit there and have a pity party before
right.
you move on.
Right.
I like what Zig Ziglar always said, you know, something about pity parties, where he would say that, you know, not a lot of people would attend those, and the ones that do usually don't bring presents.
They usually don't what?
Bring presents.
Oh, right. That's the truth. Yeah, like I always say, you know, when people say, hey, how you doing? I say, I can't complain, you know, because if I do, you're going to just probably complain back, and I don't want to hear it. So, you know, that's the truth. You know, people are just going to complain back and forth. But, yeah, I mean, I personally want everyone to know out there, like, you know, every day, you know, every week that rolls around, and I've used this statement many times, you know, you're in the blender, you're spinning around, and you're getting, you know, you get right back in, and, you know, maybe you get a day or two off, and then you just feel like, you know, you're in the rat race. And you know what I love? I don't know if any of you have played this game, and I don't know if you have either, Dwayne, where it's called Cash Flow, and it's by Rob Kiyosaki, and it's from his book Cash Flow Quadrant, and it's an actual like Monopoly game. And if you haven't played it, you could buy a membership and play it online with people from all over the world on the Rob Kiyosaki website, or you can actually buy the actual game, which comes in a box, and it's just incredible. And I've been playing it with my daughter since she's a young kid, you know, like maybe like 9 or 10 years old. She's 15 now, still a kid, but and we've been playing this game, and it's more of like a real life Monopoly where you buy properties, you have a debt, and the cool thing is you're assigned a certain character and you become a janitor or a lawyer or a doctor, and then you have three kids and they have college funds and you have expenses, and you literally are playing this game, but you have to have a balance sheet, you have to balance your books, you have to figure out interest. And if you're a business owner, it's one of the coolest games you ever play. Have you ever played it?
I've never played it, I've never heard of it. I'm going to go out and buy that sucker.
It's not cheap. I think the game is expensive. Like, I remember when one of my students bought it for me, it was like $200 the game. But it's incredible. And if you haven't played it, it's the best. And they have cash flow for kids and cash flow for adults. So like your younger one would be able to play it. And what I've played it with my students. Like every Wednesday morning, we would keep the game going in one of my students' houses, and it was on a table. Like, you know, you'd set it up, and it just stayed there. And every Wednesday, my entire team of my main program managers and head instructors would get together and play this game. And it was cool because, you know, it teaches you how to think differently. Like, for example, I went to a Rob Kiyosaki seminar about 2 years ago, and I played with the Rob Kiyosaki coaches. And I'm very conservative, and you know, I'm afraid to spend my money without having some sort of guaranteed result. When I played with these coaches, they balance sheeted everything and mortgaged things to the hilt. However, they were able to create wealth within short amount of time compared to the way I did it, and they made massive money. You know, so that they were what they say, they got out of the rat race and they went into what they call the fast track. And of course, now instead of buying a single family house, they were buying 12 family, you know, apartment buildings and making a ton of money in this game. So if you're listening and you like learning about business, this is the greatest game ever. And it's really all about how to think out of the box. And you know, as I feel frustrated this morning and I talk about it, I'm starting to remind myself, of course, how I need to think in order to not feel that way. And sometimes school owners, though, they don't understand how to think, or they don't know what they don't know, so they're stuck in a rut and they're doing the same old stuff every day. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we have a tendency to only see, you know, our problems and not past or through them. And sometimes,
right.
Oftentimes we need a third party to, you know, take a just a look out for us and tell us what's going on. And I tell my students, it's really hard to read the prescription on the medicine bottle when you're on the inside. And
right.
We need that. Be it you need to listen to some motivational speaker just to make you feel better, or you actually generally need some help with business. We all need that. We need mentors. We need individuals that we're going to look up to and that are going to look out for us.
Right. And you know what's interesting? I once did Tony Robbins' weekend, and I did the fire walk. And one line I'll never forget, when his sales team called me up, they said, you know, it wasn't cheap. It was like $3,600 for the weekend, for the seats that I wanted and the package that I wanted. And I said, you know what, I don't know. And I'm making good money, you know, so it's not like I couldn't afford it, but I didn't know if I wanted to afford it, if that makes sense. And so I said, I'm not sure if I can afford it. And the guy's answer to me was, you can't afford not to afford it. He said, you know, and of course it's a great sales line, you know, as well, but it was more like you better do this because it's life changing. And you know what? I did do it, and I went to it, and I walked on fire, and, you know, it was just insane. But that motivation that Tony Robbins gave me, even though I've read his books and heard his seminars and listened to his tapes, just being there was something that I – can you hear me any better now? Hello? Dwayne? You there? Are you there? Hello?
Hey, we got you back, Allie. I don't know what happened there, but you were talking about the firewalk.
Yeah. I think mainly I just have, we're having some phone issues. I have cable phone system, and with all the snow and the ice, I think that might be an issue because I couldn't get my phones this morning. But yeah, talking about the firewalk, I mean, it's funny. I don't remember. I had said a lot after I got cut off. But yeah, you know, when I went and I did this seminar with Tony Robbins, and you know, I did the firewalk, and
you said that. You said that you remember it, like there was a saying or something was said that you stuck with.
Yeah. Well, one of his sales guys said to me. He said to me. He goes, you know, I had said to him, I don't know if I can afford this seminar. When in reality, you know, I could afford it, but I didn't know if I wanted to afford it. You know, when you're thinking about, like, what should I spend the money or not spend the money? And he said to me, and it was a great line, he said, you can't afford not to afford it, not to go. And I was like, yeah, that's a great sales line, you know, but at the same time, is it really true? Anyway, I bit the bullet and I went, and it was absolutely life-changing because, as you said, with gurus that you get, motivational coaches, they're, you know, sometimes just hearing their words and being around them just creates a whole new paradigm and mindset for you as a business owner. And that's why, you know, it's bad to be on your own, in your own world, doing your own thing without anyone else to talk to and motivate you. So I think that having a coach and having someone to listen to just creates, doesn't matter what you spend because you always get it back in the long run. Does that sound realistic?
It does. I mean, and as long as it's good advice. But otherwise, it's just, talking to a good friend. And that helps, too. I'm not negating that.
Yeah.
But, you sometimes need expertise.
Well, sometimes I'm not even talking about, systemizing or the setup or the whatever of whatever you're trying to learn. But I'm talking about just kind of getting out there and hearing. Like, for example, today, you know, that I, as a martial artist, been doing this for 25 years. My school has been open for going on 25 years this coming November, so I'm running on 24. I still feel the same way. The other day, I have to tell you, to be honest, I was in my lobby. I just stopped in to visit. It was cool because while I was there, one of my students who I hadn't seen in like 6 years, a very dedicated student who hasn't been trained, he's a new New York City police officer, hasn't been training, stopped in to say hello, so that was awesome. But I stood there to hear, and I hear a few of the moms just bickering, and they're like, they're a little niche, and then I thought, we're doing sparring in the class, so they're watching on the mom. They're not supposed to be hitting in the face. This is ridiculous. I'm like, ma'am, they're not hitting in the face. Well, they hit him right in the head. I go, that's the helmet. Our rules in the tournaments and our sparring is you're allowed to hit through the padded area. Well, it's the front of the face. I go, no, that's the top pad on the forehead. Just the moaning and groaning. I'm like, I told my daughter, I'm like, okay, let's go home right now. I was frustrated to the point where I actually had a dream that night of me smacking her around in my dream and kicking her out of my school. You know how it is. It's just sometimes it's silly and frustrating. And all of us feel that way. And I just want to point that out to school owners. You're not alone if you're feeling demotivated at times or feeling frustrated at times or all your hard work doesn't seem to be paying off at the moment. You know, we're all there experiencing this, especially in a down economy or a frustrating economy. So I just want everyone to know that that happens. But now you just got to snap out of it, like you said, Twain, and not be in the pity party, but think of a solution. Get a friend and somebody you can trust to help you out of it.
Right, and it's okay to feel sorry for yourself, but just allow yourself. If you're going to do that, put a time frame on it. I mean, if you want to take one day to moan and gripe and complain, then do it. But then after that, get up and do something about it. I heard a speaker one time say, you want the quickest way to get rid of a complainer is to just solve the problem.
Right.
And I totally agree with that. And you don't want to be seen that way by other individuals. You don't want to be the downer to other individuals. But like I said, it's okay to put a time frame on it. And you're going to feel crappy, but then get up and do something about it.
Exactly. And there's years of running a school for, 2.5 decades that it's been, most of the time when if someone is complaining, the good news is that you have a chance to fix the problem. They're boisterous enough so that they could see you try to make the attempt to correct the solution. Now, I'm not saying that not every complaint or issue is fixable because sometimes you just can't please everybody. However, most of the time it's nothing more than a matter of clear communication. And, by me standing there and saying, hey, but those are the rules. You could do this. You're allowed to do hit to the head. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'm like, okay, now you do. Even though they did know it because we do tournaments every 5 times a year. However, they forget. So I was able to point that out and clear that up and hopefully create less bickering and so on.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we all go through that. I mean, be it, with students, with staffs, with your kids. I mean, you're going to have things that it's life. And,
right, exactly.
It all depends on how you're going to look at it. Well, like I said, though, it's okay to feel bad, but it's not okay to stay there.
Right. And I have a client that I work with, and he's like, oh, man, I lost a few students, and this parent was saying this, and, oh, I didn't do that. And I'm like, when you're a self-employed business owner, everything is always going to rise to the top. It's always going to fall on your lap because you chose to be in a business where you are responsible. The bottom line, you're responsible for everything. You know, you may have employees, but then you're responsible for them. However, being a business owner, that's why not everyone wants to be self-employed, because it is a lot of work. There is a lot of responsibility. It takes a certain select kind of mindset to be able to wake up every morning and be self-motivated to grow your business, make money, stay in business, and stay on top of the game. That's why there's a great book. Did you ever read the book From Good to Great?
Oh, yeah. It's funny you say that, because I was thinking of the flywheel when you were talking about, you know, you're working and you don't feel like anything's getting done. That reminded me of Good to Great when you had said that.
Yeah, and I read the book, and then there was something else. There's a follow-up book to it. I forget the name of that one I read as well. And I didn't really – the book was excellent material. Just certain books are hard to read, and that one for me, it was a little bit of a turning to get through it. But what they talked about, the one thing that I remember was the percentages of businesses that only last for a year, and then the ones that even smaller last for 5 years. And then it cuts in half – how many people actually last for 10 years. And then a very small person lasts 25 years, and then almost no businesses last 50 years. There's a very small amount of businesses that have been in business for 50 years and you know, 100 years and so on. So it's an interesting dynamic in how time goes by, how less and less businesses stay around. Maybe, you know, the grandfather wills it to his grandkids and they lose the entire business or whatever the case may be. But it was interesting, those statistics, to see how the legacy carried on or disappeared.
Well, it reminds me of the McDonald's ad that was in the Super Bowl. I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl last night, but the McDonald's ad.
Portions.
Okay. Well, the McDonald's ad, I don't know if you saw that one. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, basically it was, you know, randomly inside of these McDonald's, when you go to pay, they're going to, you know, basically say, hey, if you call your mom and tell you that you love her, you know, that you love her, then we're going to give you your meal free today.
Right.
And their struggle right now is millennials. I guess millennials aren't going to McDonald's. Wendy's has picked up the millennials and another restaurants as well. And so McDonald's, you know, it's just like us. We lost students. And so now we have to reevaluate. Right. And okay, so what did we do to not keep them? And what can we do to keep them? And you know, it needs to be more than just a marketing idea. There needs to be substance behind it. But even big companies like McDonald's go through these things.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, and I love that you brought that up. It's really interesting, too, because we also have to reevaluate. And I can tell you, by being in business for, you know, almost a quarter of a century, you know, 2.5 decades, I've seen cycles that I could clearly remember because I've been there the whole time. And I've lived it. So, like, there are cycles of mentalities within my school. And I equate it to a forest. And you know how forests grow and then they have a fire and they burn down and certain seeds. Actually, there are certain plants that have to be lit on fire in order for the seeds to germinate. It's interesting that how God created these types of things where without this forest fire, these plants can't rejuvenate. But anyway, I look at my martial arts school as like a forest, and I've had 5 forests in my lifetime. And it's no joke, every 5 to 7 years, an entire population of people who were my most dedicated, who never left the dojo, who were my most sworn, disciplined, you know, dedicated people have slowly quit and moved on and got married and went away to college. And then, you know, those people, those faces are no longer there. But as they're leaving, a new face comes in. And then the next 7-year cycle started, and I'd have a new group of unbelievably dedicated, incredible people. No joke, as dedicated, if not more dedicated than the one before, because I became better at it, better attention. But I had like 4 or 5 at minimum of those forests within my school. And I also had to change my mindset, my marketing, my approach, and so on a few times as well. Or else we'll be dinosaurs and we'll die like the dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be extinct.
Yeah, and that's the delay and the dilemma with a lot of the coaches out there now, because they're in this whole new internet-related marketing mindset, and everything is technology and Facebooking and you know, Instagramming and you know, emailing. However, you know, you can't throw away the essence of what you do. You can upgrade and update and be in the 21st century. However, you don't want to just become the 21st century, because a lot of the values and the essence of what martial arts is all about, people still want that. They just speak in a different language nowadays, you know, the younger generation. They, you know, years ago we'd call them on the phone or we'd see them in person. They didn't have email, text messaging, and, you know, Instagram and Facebook. Now they do, and that's become literally a staple in their life.
Yeah, and it's not going to go anywhere for quite a while, so we'll learn how to use it to our benefit.
Exactly, and find a way not to give away your identity, but not refuse to be transported into the future.
Well, and I was just going to say, too, and don't let social media rule you. I mean, there's so many people, school owners and non-school owners. I mean, just people in general that Facebook just rules their life, and it's
– yeah.
So, I mean, it's funny because I'll have people say to me, man, you're on Facebook all the time. And actually, I'm not. I set up posts, you know.
Yeah.
But I have to be on Facebook because of the business. But if I
– right.
If I wasn't in business, I would not be on Facebook.
You know what? Me too. I feel the same way. Other than keeping in touch with friends and people that I don't really speak with because I can see their posts and in your instant message them, I agree with you. And people say that to me all the time. They're always on Facebook. I'm really not either. I'm just signed in 24/7. You know, it's online. I won't even be near my computer. Yeah, I might get a message on my phone and all that other stuff, but I'm there, but I'm not on. I'm not like addicted to Facebook. Although it could get quite addicting, and it is a time waster, massive time waster. And I saw a great show that I love to watch with Anthony Mercury from Hotel Impossible, and somebody was talking about, or maybe it was Mark Malonis from The Prophet, one of my other reality shows that I watch. And the guy said, well, yeah, I've been working on social media. He says, what have you been doing? He goes, well, we have 6,800 likes, or, you know, 68,000 likes. He says, okay, that's great. He says, how much business is it bringing in? And he said, I don't know. He says, who cares how many likes you got? You know, maybe they're liking it because they just want to like something. He said, half of the people on your – he said, I look through your site. Half of the people who like what you do are out of the country. They're never coming to your hotel. They're not stopping in and buying restaurant and deals and eating at your place. He says, none of that stuff really matters. So it's really targeted. You got to be careful of what you think the reality actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. And can't fool ourselves. Yep. We can be our own worst enemies with that. So, hey,
absolutely.
I wanted to give you a quick update about the Karate for Christmas, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, tell everybody. That's crazy.
Okay, so our final numbers were actually 84 people. I know I had said 87, and we had to give one back, 86. It was actually 85. We had to return one, so it was 84 people.
Right.
Out of those 84 people, as of last Friday, January 30th, we signed up 44 of them.
Wow. And this is signed up in an official membership in their training.
Signed up, yeah. And we did a deal where instead of, you know, we'd waive the $100 registration fee and give them a second uniform if they signed up, you know, by January 30th. But the payments won't come out until March. So, I mean, obviously that's
right.
All delayed. But, I mean, that's 44 people. So.
Yeah. Well, none of that matters. If people are listening, I mean, that's a great sales method, great sales technique. And, you know, I mean, you're talking and – not to always be a numbers man, financial numbers, but like you're saying, how many members signed up?
44 out of 84.
44, and then average monthly tuition when they start paying?
139.
So that is $6,116 per month times 12. You're looking at an increase in income of $73,392. I mean, just to see the numbers on one campaign, how for some school owners that are listening, that could literally be life-changing, right? And for anybody, really, it's life-changing. I mean, who couldn't do incredible with something like that? So, I mean, what an incredible campaign, Dwayne. And that alone right there is what some people bring in for the entire year.
Right. Well, I'm let me just say this is that, and people that, you know, our regulars that listen know this, I've never done that before. Like the most I've ever done was 29, you know, signups for Karate for Christmas, meaning that 29 people that actually did the Karate for Christmas. I'm not talking about that actually signed up after they did the Karate for Christmas. I'm just saying
right.
The most I sold for Karate for Christmas was 29. So this was an anomaly. This was, you know, I wish I could tell you.
Well,
I should tell you what we did, but
it actually wasn't an anomaly. I think that it was definitely a matter of you sharing it with me, me taking it and running with it, and you going, hey, I'm going to focus on this and put the intention there and, you know, really do it. And you did well with it. I mean, it's a matter of, for everyone who's listening, is about putting that energy forward and really putting the effort into it with a concise campaign. And that's exactly what you did, and it worked out incredible for you.
And I'll tell you that out of those 84, about 30 of them, I want to say 30, I don't remember the exact number, were from the radio.
Right. Incredible. Incredible. That's
yeah.
amazing. Yeah. So, and you know, the great thing is that the conversion ratio was 50% of all people who signed up and tried out, and you're still probably not done. I'm sure you'll get some more. And that's the amazing part. And by the way, you know, when we talk about lifetime value of a client, we sometimes look at their tuition, $100 a month times 12 months, and then they usually stay for a year and a half. So that's, we'll make $1,500 out of them. But that's not true, because we have special events, we have retail, we have referrals. So, you know, a client value is, you know, if it was a small $100 a month, is sometimes around $2,500 to $3,000, because we want to try to get one referral from every one of those new excited members as well.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe we should do another call, or maybe we should do a call and a little cheat sheet for people to understand what lifetime value is. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's make that our next call. Put that in our database, and maybe we could prepare something to do a handout for them to see it and so on.
Yeah, I think so. And then I wanted to tell you that I was very leery about continuing my marketing. And I know you spoke about this. And I didn't. I mean, I went ahead and still went with it. And what I mean by that is, you know, having 84 people to have to manage, well, how in the world can I bring any more people in? Well, what we did was at the end of the year, I always print up these, you know, 1 month in a free uniform gift certificates, and we give two of them to each of our members, right? And they just hand them out as Christmas gifts. And this week alone, like, okay, so the people that have the 1 month certificates, we pushed off until February. And if we could have pushed them off until March, we would have.
Right.
But we pushed them off till February. This week alone, we have 8 new people coming in to try out classes just this week with 1 month certificates. And
that's
then I have one other person coming in off of our karate for Valentine's Day, you know, with the 1 month of karate, the free uniform, and the limo ride for $47.
Right,
and
right.
So I have one of those coming in this week as well. And then next week we have more people coming in. So it's like, it's crazy. And I don't want the listener to think that I'm trying to talk about myself. I don't mean it that way. It's just, it's cyclical. Like, I've had years like this before, and then there's a plane, and then now it just happens to be right now it's that year again, which is just phenomenal.
Right, right. Well, that's awesome. And again, that's what I talked about the cycles, like you said, the forest fires. However, though, you're still at it plugging away. Of course, you're probably not working nearly as hard as you used to when it was all you. However, you know what? You're still doing it. And this is, I find, when I coach people, and I have a client right now who's been at the top of his game, you know, $38,000 a month, you know, 350 students, and now his dojo is kind of dying a slow death, because what happened was he got up to a certain point and he wanted everyone to do everything for him, and he removed himself way too quick, and he's a new school owner. I could see if he's like me, he's been doing it for, you know, 25 years, and you know, but he was only open 6 years, and all of a sudden he was running it like one of the big boys, and he took his eye off the ball and hired people that didn't really have his interest in mind. And now he's back down, and we're rebuilding. So it's a sad state, because he didn't listen to me about putting all the systems in place. But anyway, I think that it's awesome that you're still in the trenches, so to speak, building and growing and selling and working those schools and doing a great job at it. So congratulations. And, let's definitely share with our listeners next call a little bit more about lifetime value and student value and why it's valuable to keep people happy and so on and so forth.
Well, and I think knowing those numbers will make a big difference. So, yeah, that's good. So, Allie, great call. Everybody, remember, everybody feels like crap on Monday sometimes, and you're not the only one.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Maybe that's the name of our call. Everyone feels like crap on Monday.
Yeah. All right. Well, great talking to you, Allie.
You guys have to be
All right, bye.